This is Washington Watch Weekly, your voice in Washington, D.C. on the issues of faith, family, and freedom. Now, here's our host, the president of the Family Research Council, Tony Perkins.
Hello and welcome to the weekend edition of Washington Watch. The Department of Defense released new guidelines this week for religious expression in the military. But does this solve the growing problem of religious hostility we've seen under the Obama administration? Retired Lieutenant General Jerry Boykin has the answer. Also, in just 2 weeks, the Winter Olympics is scheduled to begin in Russia. However, with the threat of terrorist strikes from Islamic militants in the region, some are saying the U.S. should stay away. Should we? I'll ask the general. And tens of thousands of pro-lifers converged on a cold and snowy Washington, D.C. Wednesday for the 41st annual March for Life. RNC Chairman Reince Priebus joined us this year, as did House Majority Leader Eric Cantor, who announced the House would vote this coming week on H.R. 7, the No Taxpayer Funding of Abortion Act. Congressman Vicki Hartzler was also there, and she joined me on Wednesday to talk about the march and what it means. Also, New York Governor Andrew Cuomo showed the intolerant colors of the left when he basically said pro-lifers, pro-Second Amendment, and supporters of natural marriage were not welcomed in his state. Glenn Beck said, fine, I guess you don't want our money either. Glenn Beck joined us on Tuesday as we broadcast a program from New York City. Let me encourage you to go to the website, TonyPerkins.com, and find out more about all of our guests this weekend. You can also sign up for my daily update by going to the website, TonyPerkins.com. Also, sign up for the alerts. That way you'll know what's happening here in Washington, D.C. as it pertains to faith, family, and freedom. Well, there are some major developments leading up to the Winter Olympics regarding major terrorist threats to several countries and their athletes. Russian President Putin suggests the area is safe, and the International Olympic Committee is trying to calm the fears of not only the countries involved, but the spectators that are planning to attend. Also earlier this week, the Defense Department released new regulations regarding religious expression in the military. Lieutenant General Jerry Boykin joined me on Thursday to help give some insight into security at the Olympics and his cautious optimism on these new regulations coming out of DOD. Before we get into the threat at the Winter Games there in Russia, let's talk about last night the Department of Defense released new guidelines for religious expression in the military. Is this a good thing? Are we seeing a course correction in our nation's military?
Well, Tony, yes, it's a good thing. It's late, and I think it's in many ways a direct response to the pressure that we've put through FRC's efforts as well as coalition efforts on the Department of Defense to come out with something very affirmative in terms of the how they're going to protect the rights of people of faith. Now, in 2013, there was a National Defense Authorization Act that was passed, and in Section 533, it required the Department of Defense to publish implementing instructions. In other words, how are they, you know, how are you going to protect religious liberty? They never did it. Now we have a new National Defense Authorization Act for 2014, and they're just now coming up with implementing instructions. So I think, A, it's positive that they have finally done this. B, it is largely a result of our coalition efforts and the pressure we've put on them from the grassroots with people signing petitions. Mm-hmm. We delivered 220,000 petitions to the Pentagon of grassroots people, our listeners. And we're going to have to wait and see. I'm encouraged by it. It has some positive things in it. We've made a public statement today that we are encouraged by it. But the implementation, how the commanders in the field receive it and implement it, is really sort of the final test.
You know, I think you would speak to this from your 36 and a half years in the military, from a military and a security standpoint, but it's true with anything in life. No victories are permanent.
No.
And so while this is a success and a direct result, as you said, of our listeners and supporters who responded to our right. call to action, we have gotten language into the defense authorization. Now, what we're talking about here is not only incidents of members of the military being forced to remove Bibles off their desk, but even to the point of what they believe. I mean, with Sergeant Monk, who has been here, we've worked with, it came down to a point, not that he was expressing himself, but he was punished for not expressing an opinion that was in agreement with his lesbian commander.
That's right. They were trying to force him to celebrate homosexuality and same-sex marriage. Now, he never made any statement other than to his commander, his lesbian commander, because of my religious faith, because of my beliefs, I can't answer your question the way you want me to. And as a result of that, he was relieved of all duties after 19 years of honorable service. He was given a bad efficiency report and transferred to a new unit.
Now, based, General, on what you have seen now in these new instructions, would that have a different outcome?
Yes. Based on what's in the instructions that we're reading, if implemented the way we are interpreting those, and it's not just me, but it's others in our coalition, to include some lawyers, we believe that this will prevent that from happening. Now, it's going to happen again, Tony. I can tell you that. And when it does, we're going to be quick to go after the Department of Defense. But there's going to be some aberrant activist commander out there somewhere in the military that is going to not adjust very well to these new guidelines.
And right. But that's now, the military's just the first stop.
That's right.
I mean, we're now seeing this into the workplace. We're seeing this, I mean, we've talked about this with Christian bakers and photographers and so on. All right, so folks, good news here. All right, here's the good news. We have seen a change in the law in response to the oppression of the Obama administration, but only because of your response. You responded when we said, hey, we need your help. You signed these petitions. I have people ask me all the time, General, does it really matter if you sign a petition? Now, I can't speak for every organization, but here our policy is if we get a petition that's signed, we deliver them.
That's
and in this case, you went to the Pentagon personally, and you delivered 220,000 petitions to the Defense Secretary. Now, we're gonna be monitoring this. As he said, as the general said, there's going to be other cases, and we're gonna need you to respond to that as well. But thank you for listening, and thank you for reacting. Thank you for standing with us in defense of the religious freedoms of the men and women who defend us. All right, General, before we run out of time, I've just got 2 minutes left before we go to the break. The threat of terrorism at the Winter Olympics in Russia, how serious is it?
Very serious. It is a real threat. It's coming primarily out of the Islamic regions of Chechnya and Dagestan. But remember, there were two wars fought between the Chechens and the Russians. There has been an adversarial situation there since the Soviet Union disintegrated in 1991. These people are Islamic extremists. They're not motivated in this case at the Olympics by just Islamic theology. They're really motivated by wanting to embarrass Vladimir Putin, who they have been at war with for quite a long time. And if they could succeed in getting countries around the world not to show up for the Olympics, they are the victors without ever having to set a bomb or fire a shot.
Should the U.S. go?
The U.S. should absolutely go. We're the most powerful nation in the world. And for us to be intimidated by these people and not go to the Olympics, I think would be a huge mistake. Look, life is about risk. We had people killed on the streets of Boston by people that were out of this same sect.
Mm-hmm.
You can get killed right here in America. We should not be intimidated. This is an issue that I think is very serious for America, is the message that we send to the rest of the world. If we don't go, then what does that say to the rest of the world?
Again, that was Lieutenant General Jerry Boykin, retired from the United States Army and the Executive Vice President now here at the Family Research Council. All right, you can find out more about our discussion by going to TonyPerkins.com. All right, we're going to go to a break. When we come back, Congresswoman Vicki Hartzler of Missouri joins us to talk about the 41st Annual March for Life. Don't go away. We're back in just a moment with more of this weekend edition of Washington Watch.
FRC has several exciting internship options for college students and graduates. Apply for positions in media, policy research, government affairs, and many others. FRC interns experience weekly simulations of policy debate to practice defending Christian policy principles in an increasingly hostile environment. Interns are teamed with an FRC expert working diligently to further the cause of faith, family, and freedom. Interested? Go to www.frc.org/internships to learn more.
Welcome back to the weekend edition of Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins. Thanks so much for joining us this weekend. Let me encourage you to go to the website, tonyperkins.com, and you can find out more about this weekend's guest and the topics they're discussing. And you can also sign up for my daily update. Comes out from our team right here in Washington, D.C., Monday through Friday, right into your inbox. It talks about the issues of faith, family, and freedom, and also gives you action steps, how you can stand with us as together we make a difference. Well, as we talked about, the continued fight for life in this country, it's important that we are aware of the men and women in Congress who push for answers through legislation, and they work to shape policy that respects human life. Not only do a lot of the men and women on Capitol Hill support life, many of them go above and beyond. Each year, the March for Life incorporates a specific theme, and this year the theme was adoption. 14 years ago, Congresswoman Vicki Hartzler and her husband adopted a baby girl, and throughout her time in office, she has been a vocal supporter of life. Congresswoman Hartzler represents the 4th Congressional District of Missouri, and she joined me on Wednesday after the march. Congresswoman Hartzler, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Hi, Tony. Glad to be here.
I'm glad you're on the ground. I know you flew back shortly after the march back home. And, you were out there. You spoke on the Mall, the 15-degree temperature out there. what were your thoughts as you looked out over that sea of people there gathered on the Mall to make a statement about the sanctity of human life?
Well, I was just so inspired to see the hundreds of thousands of people who are braving this brutal frigid cold, which actually was a -2 degrees wind chill, but they were not complaining. They were cheering for life. They were glad to be there, and I was just so impressed with their dedication and their heart, not only for unborn children, but for the women and the men that are involved in abortions, because there's multiple victims with every abortion, and we need to continue to get the truth out about that abortion ends a beating heart, and every child is wanted, and every child is valuable and has a God-ordained purpose and deserves to live.
And Congresswoman, we've made over these 41 years now, there's been advances made in returning America back to a culture of life. We've seen the care pregnancy centers that dot the landscape of America, about 2,500 of those across this country. But one of the other issues, which is obviously very important to you and your family, is the issue of adoption.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. You know, there's now in America 1 in 8 couples are having trouble getting pregnant, and there are hundreds of thousands of loving, caring men and women, couples across this country who long to be called by the precious words mommy and daddy. But unfortunately, there are no babies available domestically and so even internationally for adoption. And sadly, it's because many of those lives are being snuffed out. We need to support and uphold brave birth mothers who choose life for their child and make a proactive parenting plan for their child. And we need to encourage them and help them in that endeavor and make it possible for all children to live, to grow up, to play, and to be able to be welcomed into those loving homes that are waiting for them.
Not every solution comes from Washington. In fact, I would argue many of the problems come from Washington and few of the solutions. But there are some obstacles that need to be removed and some messages that need to be advanced. And on the life front, you are very much a part of delivering those messages. What are some of the pro-life measures that you are currently working on?
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm a co-sponsor of several bills, but one of them is the No Taxpayer Funding for Abortion Act, which I believe we are going to vote on next week, and Majority Leader Eric Cantor announced today that we would vote on that, and that is a common sense bill that the majority of Americans support, and that whether you're pro-choice or pro-life, people believe it's wrong to spend tax dollars for abortion, and this would make permanent government-wide prohibition against that, which is so important now that Obamacare has passed, because it is providing for the first time taxpayer-supported subsidies to go towards abortion, and that's just wrong. So So that is one bill we're working on. I'm also working on a bill to try to make sure that adoptions are permanent, safe, and legal by establishing a nationwide putative father registry. Right now, 34 states have them, but they're not linked together, and some states don't have them. And this is a court-approved mechanism where birth fathers can proactively assert their rights, and couples who want to adopt can assure that there's a mechanism in place to make sure that baby is available, and if it comes to their home, it will be permanent and become part of their family forever. So that's a bill I'm working on. And there's also, you know, many others. One that would require, the Abortion Insurance Full Disclosure Act would require the Health and Human Services Department and Secretary Kathleen Sebelius to disclose in these Obamacare exchange policies whether they cover abortion or not, because there is a secrecy clause that was put in Obamacare that prohibits them from specifically outlining that the policy covers abortion, and only provides that people who are taking out insurance are provided that information at the very beginning, and it just would be part of the fine print. And that's just wrong. We think everybody has the right to know whether the policies cover abortion or not. It's a common sense bill to me. So those are just three of the bills I'm working on, and very, very proud to be able to stand for life and to try to make sure that that is respected all across this land.
Congresswoman Hartzler, before I let you go, just when you look at the attacks that have come upon the sanctity of life in the last 5 years, and that would coincide with the Obama administration, but you look back at where the pro-life movement has come, are you encouraged by what you see, or are you discouraged? How do you assess right now the pro-life movement in America?
Well, I'm encouraged in the fact that the majority of Americans now consider themselves pro-life. There's 48% compared to 45% pro-choice. American citizens are on our side. We just have to do a better job when it comes election time in getting out and supporting candidates that support our beliefs so they don't mandate their beliefs onto us.
Absolutely. I think you're absolutely right. Congresswoman Vicki Hartzler, thank you for your pro-life leadership on Capitol Hill, and also for fighting for faith and for the family, and we appreciate you being here today on Washington Watch.
Thank you, Tony. It's an honor.
That was Congresswoman Vicki Hartzler of Missouri's 4th Congressional District. To find out more about what Vicki's working on, go to the website tonyperkins.com and follow the links over. When we come back, Glenn Beck is my guest. We'll talk a little bit about the governor of New York and his statement that pro-lifers, pro-Second Amendment folks, as well as supporters of natural marriage, well, they simply weren't welcomed in his state. That's next right here on the weekend edition of Washington Watch.
Some say that Americans are puritanical about sexuality, but the truth is that we live in a sex-saturated culture. Many of us find ourselves wondering, like the psalmist, how to keep ourselves pure. Mapping America 123 shows that about 97% of those in intact marriages who worship weekly have had only one sexual partner in the previous year, compared to only 62% among those in non-intact marriages or who are single and who never worship. For more on marriage, worship, and sexual purity, visit www.mappingamericaproject.org.
Welcome back to the weekend edition of Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins. Well, Glenn Beck has a gift to infuse entertainment with enlightenment. And Glenn, as most of you know, recently started his own network known as The Blaze. Well, this past Tuesday was Get the Blaze Day of Action, where he was asking supporters everywhere to contact their cable providers and demand that the networks carry The Blaze. We also had a great discussion about the open letter he sent to the New York governor, Andrew Cuomo, regarding his comments that extreme conservatives are not welcomed in his state. All of this made for a great interview with Glenn Beck on Tuesday. Well, Glenn, before I get into the discussion of the governor of New York, tell us about Get the Blaze Day of Action and how people can join in.
I will tell you that, you know, I think everybody knows this when you're paying your cable company, but you don't really realize that, for instance, you're now sending money over to the Middle East with Al Jazeera. You are funding that kind of programming. I'm not a person that, you know, does a lot of boycotts or anything. I just believe that you put your money where your heart is. And your cable companies right now think that the spectrum that you need is MSNBC, CNN, Fox, and Al Jazeera. I don't think so. I think there is a, what's missing in that is a very small government voice that also truly respects God.
You know, Glenn, that's what amazes me, is that this has worked, and it's worked in a very short order as people have paid for what they want and what they need, and that is what has put the Blaze on the map. But the networks have to see that. The cable networks have to see that this is profitable. Advertisers would have to see that this is an audience that they want to and need to reach. What's standing in the way?
Well, I think there are a lot of networks out there that do see that this is working and profitable, and they can block. I think you also have, you know, other forces at work that aren't necessarily of earthly forces that would like to see voices silenced. Mm-hmm. But you also have a group of people in, you know, business, the cable operators, they're so far removed from their people. The ones who have, we're on 50 different cable operators across the country right now. And the ones who really pick it up are the ones who the managers and the CEOs still live near their customers. The ones who are living in New York, they don't really care. They don't care what somebody in Florida is thinking. And they're arrogant.
Yeah. And we've seen that disconnect. We saw that disconnect during Christmas with A&E and the Robertson family.
Yeah. I mean, and that wasn't that astounding? That really gave me hope. That was not hateful. That wasn't anything other than people standing up and saying, wait a minute. They have a right to that opinion. And that's what's important. You know, you look at what's happening in New York with the governor of New York. He's saying that if you believe that abortion is murder, think of that, that you have no place in New York. Well, wait a minute. What kind of fascistic kind of government and state are you putting together? There's nothing more important than we should be debating than, hey, I believe this is murder. But that doesn't mean you hate women, or you, of course not. But that's what they try to make us believe. And, you know, I tell you, I just had the Blaze did a story of a woman at a abortion clinic that went in. She was going to have her twins aborted. She felt hopeless. She said every time somebody opened the door of this abortion clinic, she could hear the protesters outside. She finally got up, walked outside, walked right to one of the protesters and said, I need help. And they helped. Now she's had two twins, and she was just on my show with the woman who saved her, who was a abortion protester.
Wow.
And she said, you know, we weren't there out of anything other than love. We can help you. Don't do this. We can help you. That is an important understanding all the way around in all of our walks of life.
Let me ask you this: in light of that, you're in Texas now. That's where your headquarters at. If Governor Perry, you know, given all the attention that has been on the state of Texas over the life issue, if he would have said, "Look, if you're a abortion supporter, if you don't like the Second Amendment, and you're for redefining natural marriage, we don't want you in the state of Texas."
Firestorm.
What do you think the reaction would have been?
Firestorm. Honestly, I believe probably $1 billion would have flowed into this state to unseat anybody who was in Texas. There would have been protests on our cities. You wouldn't have had any conventions. The pressure would have been unbelievable. The cameras would have been nonstop, 24/7 in front of the governor's house. But I know, Rick, he wouldn't have done that.
Exactly.
Because he doesn't
believe
that.
Point.
Because he's an American. We have a right to a difference of opinion.
But we respect those who have the difference of opinion,
it's funny because, I said last week or before Christmas, I think it was, we were talking about, I was on CNN, they were talking about, you know, Duck Dynasty. And I said, are you kidding me? Do you know what just happened in Russia? In Russia, heterofascism, somebody who says, and I never thought this was possible, we could make the Holocaust even more grueling. Let's take homosexuals and put them in ovens alive. And I was on CNN, and I said, you're talking to me about Duck Dynasty? What about that guy? Because that's a guy I can stand with the people at GLAAD
Absolutely.
And say, I agree with you on this one issue. I agree. That is fascism and dangerous. Now, everybody was shocked that I would, on the left, that I would say that I would stand with GLAAD. No, 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 wait, wait, wait. Not on everything, but on not respecting human life. Not well, to say that because you live your life a certain way, I'm going to kill you or I'm going to silence you or no. You know, if I was just, let's just take it at this. If I'm running a business and I have nothing but yes men around me, I'm going to go out of business. I'm going to fail. I want people around me to challenge me. I think conservatives, especially religious conservatives, are probably the best, no pun intended, armed for any kind of eventuality on what's coming in our country, because we've been pushed up against the wall. We know what we believe. There's so many people in America that are walking around, they don't know what they believe. It doesn't matter if you claim something if you don't know it's true. You know, I've been quoting, you know, we hold these things to be self-evident that all men are created equal for the last probably 3 months because it's just now becoming really alive to me that they were in a time where 2 + 2 = 5. They were in a time where somebody was born with special privilege could tell you how to live your life. Somebody could tell you exactly what you could do that you couldn't own, you needed special permission or everything. And what they were saying is, look, everybody, we all know this to be true. You're born this way. Nobody is born over you, and you have a right to life, and you have a right to not be thrown in jail, and you have a right to pursue your own happiness. You make your own way. That is self-evident truth, and that's what we've lost here.
Well, that was Glenn Beck talking about Get the Blaze Day of Action, as well as the governor of New York, Andrew Cuomo. To find out more about what Glenn is up to, go to TonyPerkins.com and you can follow the links over. Well, folks, thanks so much for being with us. We're out of time for this week, but let me encourage you once again to go to the website, Tony Perkins, sign up for my daily update and our alerts. That'll keep you updated throughout the week of what's happening right here in Washington, D.C., so that you can do what the Apostle Paul encourages us to do. When we've prayed, when we've prepared, and we've taken our stand, we just keep standing.
Washington Watch Weekly is a donor-supported ministry of the Family Research Council.